All right, today we're going to be starting a series called Lamp, Light, Fire, Hammer. It's a series on the Word of God. And I always feel like talking about the Word of God is a little bit challenging because, you know, one of our goals is that we would all just be more excited about the Word of God and read the Word of God more and really value that. But in that, I can feel a little like sometimes it's like going to the dentist and it's like, hey, you need to floss more, and they make you feel guilty for not flossing as much as you should, or at all, maybe in my case. So I don't want that to be the feel of, oh, we need to read the Bible every day. And, you know, there's not even a verse that says, hey, you need to read the Bible every day. And so I don't want that to be the emphasis. And instead, I want it to be something just in our heart that we really value God's Word, and that it's something we thirst for, something we long for. And I think that would be a better thing. And so even if you're reading the Bible every day, that's great. That's awesome. But just to make sure that we have that heart of, man, this is really valuable and life-giving and really making a difference. And so that would be my desire. I think in that, even just when you think of like exercise, you know, some of you are good at exercising and eating healthy and doing all that stuff, and that's really good. Those of us who don't do that, we admire it. You know, that's kind of cool. That's good for you. But I like my donuts. There's something in you that motivates you, right? There's something that's like, I want to look good, or I want to be healthy, or I want to outlive whatever age my parents live to, or, you know, there's something that motivates you that makes you want to do that. And that's, I think, what's really important is the motivation. And then sometimes people are like, you know, you have a near heart attack or something, and then it's like, okay, now I'm motivated, you know? And I think that's what we want to look at with the Word, is the motivation. So even in this series, these words, lamp, light, fire, hammer, are just different ways the Word describes itself. There could be a lot of other words that we could look at, like honey or gold or silver, things like that, that there's this picture that's painted of how beautiful and how valuable and how edifying God's Word is. And so that's why we want to look at the series. We're not going to focus on those four words, but just the power of the Word of God. And so let's pray and we'll jump into this. God, we ask that you would just bless this series and this time here this morning. God, we don't need more information. We don't necessarily even need to know the Bible better. God, we need to hear from you. We need to connect with you. And so that's what we pray that you would do here this morning and every time we get together, God, that you would speak to us and that you would draw us close to you and to your heart. And even this topic, God, the goal is not to read the Bible more, but to connect with you. And reading the words, one way to do that. And so we just pray that you would help us in that, help us to connect with you. And we just pray that you'd move mightily in each of our hearts here today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about just the value of the Word of God, and I was looking at a bunch of different verses and stuff as we're getting ready for this series. And about 10 days ago or so, I found a quote or a little article. It was a Facebook link to some quotes by actor John Rhys Davies. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. But he's Gimli from The Lord of the Rings. And I thought, you know, if you can't trust Gimli, who can you trust? And so let me just read a couple of his thoughts. He said, I count myself a rationalist and a skeptic, and I find myself constantly defending Christians and Christianity. We seem to forget that Christian civilization has made the world a better place than it ever was. The UK native said one of Christianity's greatest glories was the abolition of slavery, but maintained that slavery still exists and that makes him mad. And then he's quoted as saying, all the things that we value, the right of free speech, the right of the individual conscience, these evolved in the first and second century Roman Christendom, where the individual Christian said, I have a right to believe what I believe and not what the emperor tells me. From that, our whole idea of democracy and the equality that we have is developed. He said, we owe Christianity the greatest debt of thanks that a generation can ever have, and to slight it and to dismiss it as being irrelevant is the detritus of rather ill-read minds, I think, he added. And then, of course, he said, nobody tosses a dwarf. So I like that he recognizes like wow, Christianity has really been good. It's actually changed the world. It's changed the way we view our freedoms and what rights God has granted us. And a lot of that, of course, would come from Scripture. Scripture has had an impact that's changed the world. And I think we need to keep holding on to that and realizing that, man, Scripture really brings good. The truths that it teaches help us connect with God, help us relate to Him, help us learn His ways, and that brings life. That brings good. And so we see, just even the example he gave, it's bringing life to really our country and to lots of people who've been affected by the changes that have taken place. And so that's the way it should be. It should give life to us, give life to our families, give life to our community and even our nation or our world. And there's a value there that should be a driving force, just like we have our reasons to exercise or eat healthy. And we realize, wow, hearing from God really brings good. And it's a blessing to our lives. And so it's a huge thing for us. And this morning, that's really what I want to talk about is oracles of blessing. The words of God as a blessing to our lives. And that comes from this verse in Romans 3. Just to give a little bit of context to it, in Romans 2, Paul had just been talking about how it's not just our outward behavior that God wants, but what God wants is, you know, change in our hearts. That's the big deal. Not just that you obey all these laws or all these, to his audience, all these Jewish laws and things. And he's anticipating that there are some Jewish people in his audience that are going to be like, well, then why have we been doing all this stuff? If God wants heart change, then like, why do we have long sideburns and why do we wear beanies and why do we do all this stuff? And Paul's anticipating that question, and so he answers it before anyone asks it. And so in Romans 3:1, he says, what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision, which is one of the most important things to them that they did? He said, much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. And I like that. I switched translations from my normal one just to get that word, oracles. That's a cool word. It really makes it sound important and precious and special. The NIV says the very words of God. And if you can imagine living without God's word, which is a little hard to do maybe in our society, I probably literally have 30 or more paper Bibles in my home. And probably everybody has 3 or 4 floating around. And if you could imagine life without that, without God's input, without instruction, that'd be a pretty hard life. I think of the verse in Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. If we're left to our own thinking, you know, that makes sense to us. We're like, oh yeah, okay, well, I can figure out life. I'm good. I can figure out all this stuff. And God's like, yeah, there is a way that seems right to you, but that's the path of destruction. That's the path of death. And without God speaking to us, communicating to us in some way, that's where we're at. We're just left to our own thinking. And so when we have the words of God, there's a real value in that. It's something genuinely special. If you could imagine your greatest struggle, whatever it is you're going through. And it might be related to whatever, your kids or just your vision in life or your marriage or your health or your love, your relationships with other people, your work, all kinds of different things. You think of your greatest struggle. Imagine if somebody was going to come to El Paso and speak. Well, let's even say it's a Christian. Some Christian speaker is going to come, and this person has written 32 books on this topic. And 6 of them are bestsellers. And thousands of people give testimony to, wow, you know, this person, oh, they changed my life. These methods they teach, these things that they have, they're so valuable. Well, wouldn't you at least be kind of, okay, I'd like to hear that, you know. I might like to sit in and just find out what they have to say. And yet it's like, we have the oracles of God. the sayings, the teachings, the communication from God in all those areas, in all kinds of different areas. God has spoken. God has directed us. And so what value there is? So Paul's argument here is, hey, you know, you Jewish people, you're kind of frustrated because you've been doing all this stuff. And now I'm saying, yeah, it's not what you do that's so important. It's your heart. And so they're like, oh, what a frustrating situation. He's like, well, it's still pretty cool to be a Jew because God's spoken to you. God's communicated with you, and you have the very words of God, the oracles of God. So I think that's kind of cool that God has given us that. Let's look at this verse out of Proverbs, starting in 8:32. It's wisdom speaking here. I think you could pretty much say God's saying this, but in the passage, it's wisdom personified, wisdom speaking like a person. Wisdom calls out, now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death. So when you find wisdom, there's blessing. When you miss wisdom, you lack wisdom, then there's harm that comes to your life. And so I just want to focus on those two words, blessing and harm. Blessing and harm. I mean, if you walk away today and that's all you get, that's great. You got what you were supposed to get. Just spelling it out a little bit here. Following God's instruction brings blessing. Not following it brings harm. It's a pretty simple concept, but it's really important that we hold on to that truth. Proverbs 16:20 says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts the Lord. And kind of a similar passage to that other verse in Proverbs that we looked at, but whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And we have these oracles, these life-giving oracles, and it's a real blessing when we follow those. And probably like anything in life, we don't always follow those very closely. Just a silly little illustration. Maybe 2 years ago or so, I was changing one of the doorknobs here in the church building. It's on the men's bathroom. That's why it doesn't work right. And I had changed doorknobs before. It's not any rocket science or anything. It takes maybe 15 minutes or so. Usually the hardest part is trying to figure out how to get off the old doorknob. And so I did that, and I changed it out. And I was picking up all my tools and putting them away, and then I saw a part laying on the ground. Oh, that's kind of frustrating, and I wonder how important that was. And so I went and tried the door, and I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but when you lock that bathroom, the little button that indents, it does indent, but it's only like 3 millimeters, right? And so I always go in and I push the button, and it's like, did that work? And I try it again, you know. It's like, okay, yeah, I guess it did move those 3 millimeters. And so it's like, okay, well, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I should probably just take it off and fix it. And so I, you know, there's a little hole, you stick something in the hole, and that didn't work. And so whatever I did, as near as I can tell, that doorknob is on for the rest of eternity. And so if we ever need to like break into that bathroom or something, I think we're going to have to cut through the drywall. And so at least we have a plan in case of emergency. But I don't know what I did. But of course, next to the little part that was sitting on the ground was the unopened instructions. And I just think that's a good picture of life, because it's not that we don't want to follow the instructions. It's just that I got this. You know, and we go through life kind of feeling that way. Like, I got this. I got this marriage. I got this child raising. I got these relationships. I got these trials that I'm going through. And just, you know, yeah, I can turn the instructions if I really need them. But I think we can fall into this mindset of, yeah, I've got this. And it didn't work out very well for me. And I don't think it works out very well in life. And it goes back to that proverb. There is a way that seems right to a man. I got this. But in the end, it leads to death or harm, as we're looking at today. And so I just want to look at this harm and blessing. Again, this is pretty simple stuff here. Harm often results from not following God's instruction. I want to look at the example of King Saul. And just to give a little bit of a background to the story, Saul was the first king of Israel, and God had given him instructions to go and fight with the Amalekites. And God gave different instructions for different groups of people. The Amalekites were particularly sinful, and God just wanted them completely obliterated, completely wiped off the face of the earth. And so he gave instructions accordingly. He said, I want you to go and just kill everybody, and kill all the animals, and kill all the property, all the possessions. Don't take a single thing. Just destroy everything. And so Saul's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And so Saul went to battle against the Amalekites and defeated them. But he didn't destroy everything. He kept some stuff. He kept some of the property and some of the animals and let at least one person live. And so God spoke to Samuel. Samuel was the kind of prophet priest guy at the time. And Samuel was supposed to go and talk to Saul. So we'll pick up the story there. 1 Samuel 15:10 says, the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. And then he went on to Gilgal. I like how it just mentions that in passing. I'd kind of like to know a little more about that. So when Samuel finally found Saul, he greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I've carried out the Lord's command. And Samuel replied, then what is all the bleeding of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear? Oh, it's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle. I like who he blamed there, the army. But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else. And then Samuel said to Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you? Saul asked. And Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle, and plunder, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Samuel replied, what's more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the commands of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So we can see there, it's pretty obvious that when Saul didn't follow God and follow God closely, that brought harm to his life. He had just become king, and basically his kingship is coming to an end because of this instance when he didn't follow God. And maybe it's a little bit of a hard example for us to relate to, because it's not very often that we get such a direct command from God and we disobey it so defiantly. But we could easily find a couple dozen other examples of times when people didn't listen to God and it brought harm. I don't think that's hard to prove. But I think what's interesting here is Saul's response, and either he's just flat out lying or he's deceived. And it could be either one, but as I read it, I kind of get the sense that he's kind of deceived, kind of like thinking, I did pretty well. I did all right. I did what God wanted. I mean, maybe not exactly, but I followed the spirit of the whole thing. And yet, that wasn't God's take on it on. And I think that's where we have times in life when we're relying on our own thinking. And we're like, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. I'm good. And we're not really aware of God's teaching, or we've heard it and it's not important, and it just kind of goes off to the side. And I think we want to be really cautious of that, because God's teaching brings life. It brings good. And when we get off of that, then that brings harm, and we see that playing out here in this story. on the other side, we can see that blessing comes from following God. And again, this is pretty easy to illustrate. The illustration I thought of was just with Abraham, when God called him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Isaac was his child of promise. It was a child he had waited for. It was kind of the miracle child. And God asked him to sacrifice his son because he was testing him. And Abraham obeyed, which is pretty amazing. And he took Isaac on a trip and was going to sacrifice him, had an altar set up and had him tied up, ready to go, and raised the knife. And God said, stop. That's not my plan. And he provided a ram for Abraham to sacrifice instead. And then God told him what he felt about Abraham's obedience. Here's what he said. As the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven, this is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Like, wow, that's really cool. Because he obeyed, he brought blessing on himself and on his family and really all the nations on the earth. Because God was blessing his response because Abraham was following him. And so I think it's pretty easy to see that picture of when we do our own thing, that brings harm. When we follow God, that brings good. And think of, in my own life, an illustration of that. I think I shared with you guys a couple of weeks ago just how hard going through a divorce was many, many years ago. And just heart-wrenching. And one of the things that played into that was that I started dating a girl who was not a Christian. And I was in high school, and I think I found out that she wanted to go to homecoming with me, and I was pretty shy. So I'm like, that's great, because I wouldn't ever have the courage to ask somebody if I didn't think they were going to say yes. And I knew that she wasn't a Christian, or I kind of suspected it. And, you know, she had her own faith, but it wasn't the same as my faith, I guess. And it was a little bit questionable. And yet I started dating her. I started dating her, and then, you know, eventually she said that she had become a Christian and things. Although I suspect perhaps that was just because she knew that that's what I wanted. And so we ended up getting married. And after a couple of years, then she said, hey, I still love you, but I'm not in love with you. And then it just all exploded. And in that, I had this mental image of, I felt like life is like a minefield. Just all kinds of dangerous things that can bring hurt to our lives. And that God or Jesus was leading me through this minefield, just kind of like, hey, just follow me. I know how to get through this. Just follow me step by step. And at some point, I'm on my journey, and I'm like, oh, well, this path looks pretty good. And I don't see what's so great about your path. And I did my own thing, and it blew my legs off. And it was so painful, just emotionally. I was so, so broken. And so after that, I thought, you know, I really want to follow God through the minefield next time. And I decided that I wasn't going to date anyone who wasn't a Christian. And in fact, I was in a bit of a just question. It's like, would God even have me remarry? Is that even something that is according to his will? Or would he say, no, you know, that was your shot? And so I had to question that and make a decision of, if this is not what God wants, if this is not something that's permissible, I am not going to go down this path. And in that, of course, there was huge blessing. I didn't do it my way that time. I tried to follow God's way. So when I did it my own way, that brought harm. When I tried to do it God's way, that brought blessing. And by all means, I mean, you know, it's not like, and ever since, I've been perfect. You know, it doesn't work that way. I've certainly stepped off the path at times, but I'm just saying it's as we follow God, that's good. That's good. And we need to hold on to that. One more thought I'd like to share just related to following God is that it's a good thing to follow God. And If I switch words and were to use obedience, I hope that's still a good thing. And I was trying to think through, what's the difference between following God and obedience? And I thought, I don't know, I'll just leave that to you guys. You guys can wrestle that out yourself, but I think they're pretty similar things. And yet, I think sometimes in Christianity, when we think of obedience, it puts a little bit of a bad taste in our mouth, a little bit like obedience is wrong. You know, that's like legalism, and that's striving to earn our salvation or something. And certainly by obedience, I don't mean that. I think when we had that mindset of, I'm obeying to get God's approval, I think that's really unhealthy. And that's not how we come to God, right? You can't be such a good person, you can't obey so well that God looks at you and he's like, wow, okay, yeah, I'm going to let you into heaven because you're so awesome. You've obeyed me so well, you deserve to reign with me forever. That's not how it works. Nothing impure can enter heaven. We're all impure. The way that it works is Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins and to pay the sacrifice that needed to be made to deal with our sin. Because of that, we can be forgiven by putting our faith in Jesus, not through our works, not through obedience, not from trying really, really, really hard, just by putting our faith in him. And that's it, period. But it's still a blessing to obey. And it's still an honoring thing to him to say, well, you're my God and I'm going to follow you, or I'm going to obey you. It's a beautiful thing. And there's a blessing that comes in that. He's not just randomly giving us rules, but a lot of the rules he gives us are paths of life. When we follow him, that's good. That brings life, just like me in dating. When I did it God's way, that was way better. Way better. And so I was even thinking through just kind of the way obedience, some of the examples of obedience in Scripture, I think of where it talks about, like, we put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make it obey, or how children are supposed to obey their parents, or how people are supposed to obey the government. Like, well, even in those, that brings a blessing, right? The horse is blessed by obeying the rider. The citizens are blessed by obeying the government. The children are blessed by obeying the parents. And I feel like there can be a little bit of, but by all means, Christians shouldn't obey God. That would be wrong. It's like, okay, there's something messed up in that thinking. No, we need to see, okay, that's wrong if we're doing it to try to earn our salvation. But it's a good thing to obey him because we love him and because it brings blessing to our lives when we follow his way instead of ours. So, pretty simple stuff. When we don't follow him, it brings harm. When we follow him, it brings blessing. And just last point there is that we have the oracles a blessing. Following them brings good. We have these teachings from God, the very words of God. And when we follow those words, that brings life. That brings good into our lives. Let's look at that Proverbs 8 passage again. His wisdom calls out, now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. I like that little word picture there. Watching daily at my door. So if you can imagine wisdom being personified, being like a person and living in a house and sitting outside the house of wisdom, sitting on the doorstep and waiting, like, when's wisdom going to come out? Because I want to ask wisdom some questions. And I want to get some of wisdom's wisdom so that I can follow it and be wiser. And that will be a blessing to my life. I had a neighbor maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And he, where I lived, you can use the irrigation to flood your yard. And he flooded his yard and mine as well. And he added my kitchen to that while he was at it. And he was out of town, so I was kind of waiting for an opportunity to talk to him because this happens about every 2 years. And I wasn't going to yell at him or anything. I'm just like, if I re-drywalled my kitchen every time I should, I would have, you know, done it like 5 times already. So could we stop flooding my kitchen? And so I'm just kind of waiting, you know, like, oh, is that his car? Is that, you know, you're just like anticipating, when will he show up? We've probably all had the experience of wanting to talk to our boss about our yearly review or something, right? And it always seems to, like, get skipped over. It's like, oh, we're busy right now. I don't have time. And it's always late, right? it's late, and then you have to bring it up, and you have to go to your boss and say, hey, when am I going to get my review? Because I'm waiting for that raise, right? And so you're anticipating, you're waiting, you're watching, you're looking, and just that heart with the oracles of God, of just waiting to hear from God, and knowing that that's a good thing, and wanting that wisdom from Him that we know is going to bring blessing into our lives. And so just practically, I want to encourage us to have some kind of a plan where we're going and getting wisdom from God, where we're hearing the oracles of God. Not that you have to read your Bible every day or you're a bad Christian. I don't believe that. But these are the very words of God, and they bring blessing. And so I want to keep putting myself before those words, because life is discouraging, and it's hard, and I need the encouragement. I tend to get off course, and I need redirection, and I need constant input. I need to keep hearing from God. And if He speaks to me, you know, audibly or something, hey, that's great. That hasn't happened to me much. If He speaks to me through the counsel of another person, that's great too. I mean, there are different ways He can communicate, but one way I know is I can go and just crack open my Bible and read it, and that's a blessing. So, I just want to end with just encouraging you guys, if you don't have some kind of plan where you're reading through the Bible in some way, or just not even through the Bible, but just reading the Bible, I encourage you to do our little Bible reading plan. It's on the back table there. And again, it's just, I think it's 15 chapters a week. So 5 days a week, 3 chapters a day. You can catch up on the weekends or whatever if you miss a day, or however you want to do it, 2 chapters a day. It's just a real simple plan. It'll take you through most of the Bible, and I think it would be encouraging to have some kind of habit. If you already have something you're doing, that's great. Do that. If you have some other plan you want to do, that's great. If you just want to read a chapter a day, that's wonderful. I would just encourage you. It's so precious to have these oracles of God. And find a way to consistently put yourself before those oracles so that you can learn these teachings of God, apply them to your life. And then in that, there's blessing. There's the blessing of knowing Him better. There's the blessing of knowing what brings life. There's the blessing of knowing how to avoid harm. And I think that's a precious thing that we have from God. And it would, I want to say behoove. It sounds like a funny word. It would behoove us. It would be good for us. It would be good for us to put ourselves before the teachings of God consistently. What a life-giving thing. So let's pray. God, we thank You for this time here, and we thank You that just You have blessed us, just like You entrusted the Jews with the Bible, with Your teachings, Your written word. God, how we just have that access freely now. We have so many Bibles, and we have it on the internet, and we can study it and get different people's thoughts on it and all kinds of things. What a blessing that is. And I pray, God, that You would help us just to value it, God, not just to read it, but to value it and to see it as a good thing. And even now, God, I'm reading through Leviticus. It's not the most exciting book in the world, but I know in a few days there'll be something. There'll be some little saying, some little thing that You want to say to me, and that will be meaningful, will encourage me or rebuke me or challenge me or something. It'll be good. God, I pray that for myself and for each of us, we would just value Your word enough to keep putting ourselves in that spot to hear from You. And so we thank You for this time here and the work that You're doing in our lives. I pray this all in Jesus' name.